Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And for all of us, we all know that at some point in your life, you actually need to be economically active, whether it's through a form of employment. Perhaps you might be lucky enough to make the right investments and derive a dividend there, or witness the capital appreciation in your assets. These are just a few of the ways within which we all try to earn an income. And the truth is, for some, it might be easier than others. And for the majority of South Africans, as we've experienced through our high levels of unemployment and inequality, and as much as you might try to work, but there's a challenge in terms of how effectively we are remunerated. And this speaks to the conversation around a living wage. As the name suggests, it's one that does ensure that South Africans will be able to comfortably afford to live by taking care of their most fundamental expenses. And of course, this takes us to a conversation with the chairperson of the Living Wage South Africa Network, Professor Innes Meyer, who joins us on the line. Prof. Meyer, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you. Good evening.
It's such a pleasure to speak to you. And I know that this has been years of research in the making and ongoing reflections of the living wage in South Africa. And maybe let's start there before we take a look at what you recently discussed at the University of Cape Town this month around a monthly living wage. But help us contextualize and understand the difference between a living wage versus a minimum wage.
Yes, the minimum wage is the legislative requirement, and it is set by the in South Africa by the National Minimum Wage Commission, and it is the minimum wage that for almost everyone who works has to be paid at least. And that wage, everyone is aware that that wage allows people to survive, but not really to live. It's basically to make sure that most days there's food on the table. So it doesn't assist people to get out of poverty. It traps people in the circumstances that they are in. Mm-hmm. But it is a legislation. Mm-hmm. And the living wage, especially as the Living Wage South Africa Network, we see more as an approach, as a way of thinking about the people that we employ in South Africa. Generally, internationally, it includes the wage that is required for someone who works and the family to live a very humble but decent life. And generally it includes also to have the possibility, though it is very tough, to save. So that unexpected expenses such as a broken window or school shoes that need to be purchased again before one had expected to get purchased.
And maybe let's talk about this concept of a living wage, right? Because when I researched a number of articles around this and papers that have been drawn, it's from as low as 5,500 to what we see in your recent view being 15,000 rand. So there are varying reports and figures that have also highlighted what a living wage should be. But help us contextualize your thoughts on the 15,000 rand being deemed as a living wage figure for 2024 in South Africa.
Yes. What is important is that there is no set methodology at the moment, and therefore you find a different figure. What is exciting is that the International Labour Organization in March this year agreed that countries should work towards living wages, and that includes South Africa as one of the members of the International Labour Organization. Mm-hmm. And they said it should be based on research, contextualized to the local context, and based on a rigorous methodology. And so that will help a bit more to make sure that these methods, different methods that are being used, fulfill the requirements of the International Labour Organization. And now in the research that we presented to the Living Wage South Africa Network, that is the research that in my day job as a researcher at the University of Cape Town I conduct, we said that money is really an enabler. Money helps us to live a decent life. It gets us to make choices, and we really look theoretically and empirically at what would that mean. And so in our conceptualization, we say it is the wage that allows people to have some degree of choice, to start having a degree of choice over the areas of life that matter to them. That can be access to information, nutrition, healthcare, neighborhood housing, and from that we develop an index. We then ask individuals, 2,300 around the country in all provinces, and to provide us also the income. We could then plot the income against the the quality of life index that we have developed, and we see that from around 15,000 rand net, it becomes possible to make choices about areas of life that matter to them. Mm. Below that, the salary is simply so low that it's, from almost everyone, it is not possible to even have a degree of choice about housing, the neighborhood they live in, access to information, education, and so forth.
Mm. I can imagine for any South African listening to this conversation, they'd certainly agree that, yeah, 15,000, yeah, it might not buy me my dream home in a yacht, but I certainly can live comfortably. And this is what you are presenting in terms of food, shelter, transportation, and making sure that South Africans can adequately provide for themselves. Help us understand how, I guess, this does compare to previous calculations or current calculations from your peers in the market. And I ask this because we're also aware that themes like inflation tend to play a very critical role in how these numbers are collated.
Yes, so a very common approach is to look at the cost of living and to decide on a basket of goods, look at what does that cost, and then based on that determine what would be a decent wage, which is then a living wage. The problem with that approach is that a group of individuals, in the worst case, one individual, makes a choice about what should be in this basket of goods. And with that, we decide for other people what it is that people need in their lives. And that approach is a little patronizing, especially if it is middle to upper class people who make these decisions. Mm-hmm. And that's where our approach differs. So we say people know best what they need for themselves. It's a subjective approach. And that is why we went out to get data from people without asking what do you need to purchase. It's really about the quality of life. And so this amount is a lot higher than other living wage figures that have been determined, most of them at least. The Wage Indicator Foundation provides living wages in over 160 countries in the world. And there's, for South Africa, based on what I just explained, the basket of goods, is around between 8,000 and 9,000 rand a month.
Mm.
However, there is some work that has been done by one of the large consulting firms in South Africa in the last few years, and their amount, at least for a family of four, was very much in line with the amount, the 15,000 net a month.
Mm. I'm intrigued because when we speak to companies like Investec and Old Mutual, who recently have implemented similar minimum salaries for the employees in the company, Investec has put it at 21,000 rand a month, Old Mutual at 15,000 rand a month, and a few other corporates have also come on board. Are you finding that there is a level of understanding, camaraderie, and participation from corporates in South Africa who are also looking to implement this minimum wage, I beg your pardon, living wage as a minimum.
Living wage.
Yes, the entry-level salaried employees.
Yes, most definitely. I was very pleasantly surprised. I hadn't expected it myself, being quite removed from it as an academic, but there is obviously a wide variety across companies in South Africa, but there's definitely not a small number of companies that really want to move towards a living wage. And their main reason is that it is the right thing to do, even though by now we're quite certain that one can make a business argument, in that even though it's counterintuitive, paying people more at the lower levels, very lowest levels, creates greater business success, financial profitability. But for the large corporations that we've spoken to, it has said it's the right thing to do.
Mm.
That was the main feedback. But as I said, it varies very widely. Of course, especially smaller businesses have said that they can't necessarily afford it.
Mm.
And we're very aware of that. But it is a way of thinking, an approach, not just an amount. And so as long as there's that awareness that if I'm paying people little, and that includes, by the way, people that we employ in households as individuals. If we pay people that little, what does it actually mean? It means we don't value them. Do we really see them? Do we realize that we are trapping them in a situation that they can't escape from? And that contributes to generational poverty. And that poverty is inherited over generations.
Definitely.
So with that in mind, there are creative approaches that some organizations can't necessarily afford the 15,000 rand, but are working towards it in the longer term.
Mm. And I'm glad that you highlight this, because it is something that speaks to a level of sustainability, and I'm hoping that we'll conclude with that in just a moment. But I'm also keen to understand, we've often spoken to a wide variety of entities that monitor South Africans' debt levels, and even the banking institutions, retailers, credit providers, and credit bureaus have alerted us to the fact that oftentimes it's the lower income earning market and segment that relies heavily on debt just to get by. Do you envisage that this living wage will afford consumers the ability to actually tackle their debt? Or how do we strike a balance in terms of managing their debt adequately, but more so instilling the right financial behavior?
So that's something that has come up right at the beginning of the discussions in the Living Wage South Africa Network, where someone reported who had raised wages, that with the increase in wages, individuals started making purchases that were beyond their means and that they couldn't afford. And so you're raising a very important topic, that for individuals who at the moment are living pretty much from hand to mouth, and who now have money available but haven't learned how to deal with that money in a financially wise way, it is very difficult. And a number of employers have said that they have implemented financial literacy training to accompany this raise in wages. Mm. Because otherwise we're going to see more of what we're already seeing, in that people are getting themselves into debt. Mm. Because they can. They think they can, because they can now get credit, but don't realize what it means in the long term. Mm.
Financial literacy really important right across the spectrum, right? Because we even see it with those who are higher income earners. At some point, you have more, so you extend yourself more, and sometimes that leads to ongoing challenges as well. I'm keen to talk about sustainability. As you had mentioned, sometimes corporates say, hold on, we can't just be paying staff more. It does need to translate into greater productivity, which then speaks to greater productivity. So help us contextualize how we need to view this in a much more sustainable manner.
So the likely mechanism behind it is that if we as human beings are stressed, we can't work to the fullest potential. It has severe impacts on our mental health and on physical health. Now, for many of us, we could make lifestyle choices in theory, even though it is hard. For example, if we're stressed because of the debt levels we have, because we're working long hours. But if one earns too little to get by in life, there is a constant financial stress that people can't get out of. And so they're constantly burdened by this, meaning they can't bring their fullest to the organization. And there's studies that show that the cognitive level actually decreases. We can't think because we've been stressed, completely stressed out. And many of us might have experienced this. So there is that it becomes possible to contribute more, but it is also, and that is the second cycle, that we perform best if we feel that we're valued, that our contributions are valued, that we're being seen as individuals. We're more motivated to contribute to work, to go the extra mile, to come to work, even though it might be challenging because we have a taxi strike at a particular point in time. And so it is those kinds of behaviors that we see start to shift when we start paying people adequately. And that is where it is important that it is an approach and not just an amount, because just throwing money at the problem won't be enough. It is about really looking at, how do I treat people? Do I see them as individuals? And through that increased loyalty and commitment and motivation, what we see is less theft, less absenteeism, less turnover, less other deviant behaviors, which all incur cost to the business. But they're not direct costs, maybe, that we don't factor in, or we don't see that it is related to how we treat people, including how much we pay them.
Definitely. Such an important conversation, and I really do hope that it falls on the right ears in terms of human capital professionals, HR specialists, and of course just team members as well, for us to also be able to rally behind each other and support each other and encourage each other to actually say, hold on, if we say this person is valued, how are we making this reflected in the remuneration policy or in their treatment to encourage them to be present? Such a pleasure speaking to you this evening.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Perfect. That's Professor Ines Meyer, who is a chairperson of the Living Wage South African Network. I'm keen to hear your thoughts on this one, right? We all South Africans. Some of us have the fortunate opportunity to be employed, some even entrepreneurial, and have multiple income streams. And some of us are still trying to crack it in there, making sure that we work for entities that actually might value us accordingly, and even striving for salaries that we believe are best representative of our values and our work ethic and our contribution and productivity, but also that just offer us a quality lifestyle.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.